Hey everyone, this is Andrew from the Console Gaming Crew, and we couldn't be happier to announce that we are now a part of the Boss Rush Podcast Network and are featured on BossRushGames.com. BossRushGames.com is a great place where you can find up-to-date news articles, blogs, and podcasts about video games. In addition to that, there's a growing collection of podcasts in not just the gaming community, but other communities as well. We are honored to be a part of such a great network of podcasters, so please stop by and give everyone a listen. Thank you so much, and enjoy the show.
No, you can name the episode Daddies and Baddies.
This is one of the reasons I appreciate you, man. The last few episodes, you have been giving us the fucking titles. So
I like it. Awesome.
I think Anthony from now on just found out part of his job now.
The titles? I'm okay with it.
Episode titles.
Because like a lot of times we won't even have a title for this. Like it'll say like episode whatever, boss battles, but then like we'll come up with something halfway through. Kid. Huh?
Not no more.
I like it. I take that job.
Yo, crew members, what it be?
Heyo.
Hi, guys.
Sorry, I was crunching my last Dunkaroo.
Hell yeah. Attaboy.
Anyway, so are you going to lead us in this time?
Yeah.
Huh. I'll take it. Go ahead, man.
It's going to be funny because finally,
wow, I can
we are here. Finally, we are here to do the episode that we've been talking about for like a month now. The one that was like, hey, we're going to do it, but Anthony couldn't be here. And I was like, oh, shit, I can't be there. And then, we had another episode we had to do.
So this was actually supposed to be episode 7.
Yeah, and here we are, episode fucking 12. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and surprising that it actually took to season 4 to get here, considering we're talking about video games, but this isn't an episode dedicated entirely to boss battles.
Or daddies
Big
and baddies.
Boss
daddies
battles.
And baddies.
Daddies, daddies and baddies. Now,
love it.
So we're going to go through some of our favorite single-player boss battles. We'll have a little open discussion about some of the co-op ones we've faced together. Or, you know, with other groups of friends, just any co-op when we've done, we'll go from there. Now, I don't know if it was as tough for you guys because there's like 15 million different ways we could have gone about this. Because when you're listening, you could have looked at it from a bunch of different ways. It could have been your top five most difficult, top five, you know, most fun. Top five, you know, just based on how much you like the game.
So let's give the audience a little bit of how we did it then. What did you go with? I'll tell you mine.
I don't even know that I actually had a reason behind it. I think I just went from... I don't know. I think it looks like maybe I just went based on like the emotion it got out of me as I was doing it.
Okay.
So that could mean a lot of things, you know, based on, you know, how hard it was.
So for you then, basically your most emotional boss battles, the most significant boss battles you've faced thus far.
Yeah. For one reason or another, whether it was, you know, one of the first ones that I ever remember actually doing on my own or, you know, stuff like
that. What about you, Wes?
For me, it would be more of like most impactful. You know what I mean, boss battles. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter the emotion. It's just, you know, whatever it invoked in me at that time.
And you know what? Hold on really quick, Andy. I think it sounds like a theme between the three of us, because for me it's the most memorable of, and that's between the games that they're
That's the word I wanted to use.
Memorable? That's fine.
Yes.
And that's the thing is, it's not only so it's a mixture of like
that
the
word.
It's kind of like a mixture of both most memorable and most impactful. Because when you hear the games that they're attached to, you're like, okay, that kind of makes sense. I get it. And you guys understand too, at least from my standpoint, for the types of games that I play. Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this episode. I think we all have been since like episode 7.
So for Wes's, I'm going to set the over under at 2 for how many Borderlands bosses are on here.
Hopefully not more than like 1.
Hopefully you're taking the under.
I'm going to take the under. Hopefully it's not more than 1 or 2. There should really only be like 1.
Who wants to? I'm also interested to see if there's any overlap. Go for it.
What you got coming in at number five, sir? I'm going to start with my number 5, and it is going to be the good old M. Bison from Street Fighter.
Nice. Good call.
Right?
And it's fucked up. That's such a cool thing, too, because like my brain didn't even go to fighting.
Right. So a lot of.
And there's so many good ones.
Yeah. And so for me, my list is like. For me, and I got my list up like on the top hand of the computer. So for me, my list is all games that I will still currently go back and play and enjoy playing and hate myself because still to this day, I don't care who you are. You could literally play the game Street Fighter. You could play the Street Fighter game on literally the easiest difficulty. And M. Bison is like,
it's still
set to like, veteran mode. And you're like, I didn't set it to that. I put it so I can just like enjoy it.
Dude, it's like the same thing with Goro in Mortal Kombat. It don't matter if that shit's on easy. It don't matter.
Yeah, dude. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
So,
up either way.
My number five is M. Bison. Most memorable
that's a good
for
fucking
me.
Pick, too.
Yeah, because that was one of my first, at least that I can quite remember, that was one of my first, like, fighting style game. So for me, yeah, that's my number five.
Probably mine as well. Not the original. I think the first Street Fighter game I ever played was Street Fighter 2 Turbo on SNES.
Oh, so okay. Good.
With I don't remember who was in just like the straight up first Street Fighter. I don't even know what characters they had. But I know Street Fighter 2 Turbo, you had all the people that were in the movie. Did any of you guys see the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Wait. Are we talking anime movie?
I know
movie?
There's multiple.
Or are we we're talking Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Jean-Claude Van Damme as Guile.
Yeah. Live action.
Yeah. All right. That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Van Damme. It always counts.
No, it doesn't.
I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what, though. The dude that they got to play M. Bison in that movie did a pretty good job.
I forget.
I don't know his name, but I know.
Go ahead, pull it up. You know you want to.
Something Ramirez, I think. He was the dad in the Addams Family.
Yes, he played Gomez. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, he was a fantastic actor. I think he died from something. I don't know if it was a heart attack or something.
I think you're right. Yeah.
He was a fantastic actor. Had a lot of range. Really, really good actor. Unfortunately, he did pass away, I think, only at a young age, too, which is crazy. Yeah. But that's my number five.
You want to go, Wes?
Yeah, sure.
From Borderlands 3.
No, actually.
Oh, dude.
Honestly, Destiny. Nothing. No, nothing from Borderlands. Nothing from Destiny, honestly.
Oh, can I take one more guess?
Well, no. Sorry. Nothing from Borderlands 3.
Okay, can I take one more guess?
Go ahead.
Mass Effect.
No.
So one of y'all have.
I don't have Mass Effect.
Andy's got.
Look at his face.
Andy's got the unreal face. Yeah. Fuck off. Go ahead, Wes.
So I'll start off with Mora from Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Now Mora was the spider.
Oh my god.
Okay. See, I have no idea because I watched it. I never played.
I literally watched him on stream do this battle for about 2 fucking hours.
Yeah, dude, I okay. literally went through this battle for 2 hours trying to figure out what to do. Like it was one of those things that was so infuriating. But when I got done, dude, it felt great. And then also seeing that Mora is a mother and going ahead and seeing like her reaction, you know what I mean, with her little spider babies and being like, oh my God, what have I done? Yada, yada, I'm so sorry. Like, dude, it was just very, very impactful for me at that moment. And plus, it was one of the, actually, I'll be honest, it was the hardest fight I've ever done on stream. It was the one that took me the absolute longest. Okay. It was the one that took the absolute most out of me when it comes down to like, dude, just like, dude, I was just so drained when I was done with it. Like, thank God.
Yeah.
But Mora, which was the beautiful black spider in Ori and the Will of the Wisp.
Dope. I had so much fun that night because you said before you started that night, like no matter what, no matter how long it takes, I'm finishing this game tonight.
And dude, that was like a 3.5 hour stream that night.
So and
too.
She was she was the main boss at the end?
No, she's
no.
not.
No, serious? She was just one of the level, but like I can't even call it a level boss because you can kind of go wherever you want, but.
One of the subterranean bosses.
So she wasn't even the main baddie.
No, she's not.
No. Damn, dude, that's sick.
No.
Nice.
However, the main baddie from that game would have been a good one too.
Just wait.
That bitch was. Oh, there it is. Okay.
It's like, don't worry. She's like number
but
one
it's cool
because
he never does that either. He ended up playing this game until like 2:45 in the morning.
Oh, that's
like we were.
Dude, I rocked on that so long. Like even Adrian was like, dude, I gotta go.
Because that's what I'm saying. You hopped on that either after the three of us played something, or you hopped on that after I was done doing Freaky Friday for the night.
I think it might have been the latter. I think it might have been after you were done playing something.
All right. Well, let's keep this thing rolling. So my number five, this shouldn't really surprise anybody, from Super Nintendo, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Ganon, of course. And this one, again, because this is the first boss I can ever remember beating on my own.
Yeah.
Like the first main boss of a game.
Yeah.
Is this the one and only mention of Ganon we're going to hear on your list?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
That's good.
There's a reason for it. Well, I feel like as the games have gone on, he's gotten easier, which kind of sucks in a way. Like, I was very, 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 very disappointed. I loved Breath of the Wild. I actually think it was a great game, even as a Super Zelda fan, but I was so thoroughly disappointed in that battle at the end.
Well,
it was
also,
so anticlimactic.
I mean, dude, if you think about that battle, like, you knocked down half of his health because of the beasts anyway.
I get the point.
But, no, well, not, like,
like,
see,
I thought, if
see,
anything,
that part
like,
actually
have...
bothered me. That part bothered me, the fact that, you mean, like, because gaining those abilities from the beast is what should help you defeat Ganon, not having them shoot at Ganon to go ahead and knock down half his health.
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying?
As soon as
they did that, I was like,
yeah, dude, it's that's a little cheap. You know what I mean? It felt like, you know what I mean, the players were cheated a little bit. It was still a fun fucking game, like a fantastic fucking game.
But what is so memorable about the first one, well, not the first one, because there's two games before this, or maybe three, but A Link to the Past with Ganon, there were so many different things that you had to do at once, like literally just to be able to get one hit on him, mm-hmm. you would have to equip and then unequip like three or four different items.
Jesus
So
Christ.
Like in order to...
Thank God that shit didn't break.
So in order to defeat Ganon in the first one, you had to, you had to freeze him with like a frost rod, and then you had to shoot him with a light arrow, and then you had to hit him with the master sword.
Wow.
But you had to do all that in order. And, you know, you can run out of magic. If you run out of magic, you're going to have to lose the battle, because then you can't use your, you know, your ice rod. You run out of arrows, same thing, because there's no like ammo drops or anything like that. And, he has so many attacks. Halfway through the battle, you actually need a fourth item, because halfway through the battle, there's these four lanterns in each corner of the room, and he shuts all the lights out. And once the lights are out, you can't hit him with anything. So then you have to equip either your fire rod or your lantern, go light all of the lanterns back, and then get your ice rod back out, and then get your
Good
light arrows
God.
Back out.
Okay, that's annoying.
Use your master sword.
That's what it was so back much. In the day, fucking playing games, dude. You had a million fucking things to do to beat the hardest fucking thing ever.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
But good on you, sir, for doing
it. It is so much different now.
Yeah.
All right. And
it is definitely different now.
What's your number four?
My number four is what this motherfucker said, like 2 seconds into my 2 seconds into my number five. My number four is Goro from Mortal Kombat. Hey, again. Right, because when I was younger, for me anyway,
good fucking call,
if it wasn't like Mario or something like that, it was something along the lines of like a fighting game, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, that sort of thing. So those are kind of like the games that I really stuck to, because it's like what I was good at, or what I thought I was good at anyway. Again, same type of thing like M. Bison. You could literally play the game on easy, and he was still one of the hardest motherfuckers to try and beat. Yeah,
Goro was bonkers, dude.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Motherfucker. Dude, because as soon as he said, too, I was like, I kind of like looked away. I was like, this motherfucker, did he read? Oh, actually, he did read my list, which is crazy because I sent it to him.
I don't remember.
I know. It was like episode 7 that we talked about.
Well, actually, I did remember M. Bison, but that's the only one I remember.
Oh, my God, dude. But anyway, that's
Wesley?
I was waiting for the Wesley. I was waiting for the other one. All
right. Wesley.
There you go. So one of the things I realized with my list is that, number one, it's all fairly modern games. And 4 out of 5, I've done on stream.
Ooh, that's cool. Wait, so some of our listeners of the podcast can actually attest to you fighting these baddies on stream.
Oh, yeah.
That's even cooler.
And this next one will, you know what I mean, people, including Andy, you know what I mean, we'll be able to go ahead and talk about this one. So this is Trilla from Jedi Fallen Order.
Wow, what a good one.
He's like, God, why didn't I think
he wasn't thinking about that?
He didn't think, I guarantee you, our list combined, he didn't think about a lot of this stuff. It's fine. It kind of makes us look good. Don't worry, Wes.
That's a really,
yeah, I know. So, to give a little bit of background, Trilla is your main adversary in Fallen Order. She is the former student of one of the people that you run with, you know what I mean, doing all your escapades throughout the galaxy. And her battle, which was another one, like I said before, that, you know, that was on stream, that shit was difficult, because that battle was all parrying.
Yeah.
There was so much of that game that it was just, it was timing. It was making sure everything was at the direct moment. I mean, not only like Trilla and some of the other like actual like Sith Lords and all that, but dude, even the animals, like the big white spider, you know what I mean? That was on, that was on the Wookiee Island.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or the Wookiee planet, like, yo, like, come on, dude, like, shit was insane, dude. I died so many times in that game,
you know, but, who actually killed me most in that game? It wasn't Trilla. Who killed me most was that
the big
hurly burly,
yeah the one that had the Darth Maul type fucking lightsaber.
I think you fought like on that was on the Wookiee planet, right? You fought her like on top of the treetop or some shit.
Yeah, because you were like trying to catch like some type of bird. Remember?
Yeah. What a fuck!
I don't know what the hell that was. By the way, yeah, I like that from him.
What a fuck!
That's his Arnold impression.
Get to the chopper.
That's a good one, Trilla at 4. You won't know my number 4, but Anthony will, because I'm pretty sure Anthony also went up against her because he, I believe, played this game. You played The Evil Within, correct? Not the second one. You played the first one and beat it, because I'm pretty sure I watched
it
at your house.
I played it. No, I played it on your system at your house. But yeah, close.
Okay. Do you remember Lara?
Yes.
Mine is Lara from The
His
Evil
face.
Within.
Anthony's face.
This
bitch.
Yes.
Bitch is still
so
to this
emphasis
day.
Emphasis on that word. Dang.
This bitch.
Yo, I'm gonna make that one pop. You know what I mean?
Pause. He's like, bitch.
Wes, while I'm talking about this chick, just type in Evil Within Lara and just grab a picture of her.
These motherfuckers talking about a wall. Wow. It's like water. Water.
She's oh god. Thank you, Matt.
Can you put some water in my cup with the wall?
Oh, excuse me. Bitch. So she reminds me of the chick that comes out of the well from The Ring.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell
okay,
yes.
Now, this chick that you are looking at, first of all, walks on, like, her hands and feet,
yes,
which is creepy as fuck to start.
God, she's just thinking about it. It's creeping me
she's
out, dude.
So, it's like a spider. It's like a spider.
She's got four hands. How the spider. Fuck?
And she is so
fast.
Fast. You just hear this, like, she's running, dude. It's terrifying.
It is the most terrifying. Because we played it down the basement. And this motherfucker, we played it on his big ass TV. He's just like me, always had
lights
off. All the fucking lights off, surround sound on. And yep, together, we are literally screaming like grown ass kids going, oh my God. Sorry, that's going to register loud as fuck on your shit. But anyway,
such a good choice. What also doesn't help is you fight this chick in a very, very small enclosed space. You have to like run around and she's about to fire. So you have to like run around and shoot these like little like gas gauges, I guess, to like shoot fire out at her and shit like that. It's not a good time. It is your heart is racing the entire time, and that just stuck out of my head as one of like the most for a guy who loves horror games.
God,
probably still is the most terrifying boss I've had to go against in a game. The Evil Within
that's
was
bonkers,
great with that
dude.
Because the Evil Within
Wes is like officially terrified for the rest of the night, by the way.
Oh dude, I'm not sleeping.
We'll get this. Unfortunately, he didn't get there, but she is the reason why I originally picked Evil Within for Wes for Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
But
did you play
the game?
I played like four hours.
He got caught up with the chainsaw dude in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like the very first beginning sequence, and we really didn't get past that because it just didn't.
Oh, no. We got past that. We got past that a little bit.
We did?
Yeah.
I remember you like trying to evade him in that room where you had to like sneak under beds and shit like that to get by him, but I didn't think you ever did.
I got past that like early in the second night of playing.
We still need to do a Freaky Friday.
I'm tripping that.
Of Until Dawn.
Absolutely.
And you know what?
And like I said, you would love that, and everyone that watches would love that because literally like they'd be watching a movie.
But here's the thing.
They could even help you decide what to do.
That, or if we really wanted to, we could have Wes and just show Wes's face and have somebody else play the game so he's less anxious.
Well, you know what would actually be cool about
right?
that?
Like, that's not a terrible thing.
That's not a terrible idea, but you could legitimately make this the very first interactive Freaky Friday because you could legit let...
Adrian does that with FMV games.
Yeah, between Adrian and Shell and whoever else pops in at the time, you can literally talk it out with them, be like, okay, what do you guys think I should do here? And then roll with the majority. And just
Shell don't do good with scary games, unfortunately. Well, but I would love to have her in there.
She yeah, gonna have to help with this one.
Obviously, I'm not gonna give input, or neither will he, because we played the fucking thing already. But yeah. So I'll just sit back and enjoy myself.
I was literally just thinking about that. Anyway,
I mean, look, I am here for everybody else's entertainment, not for my own. So,
well, now that I got my man cave set up, the only thing I really need to do is like get a camera, and I'm good to go to start streaming on my end for
that is
things
true
as well. So. You guys
I have another camera here.
I would probably need like either you or both of you or you or it doesn't matter to come over and look at like the actual setup. So you could be like, okay, well, we could do this, this, or this. Anyway,
yeah.
that's another time, another story, another episode. Wes, we're on number four. You're up, buddy.
No, I already went. That was trailer.
We're on three.
Oh, we're on
three. Wait. It's you now.
I don't have my shit up, but I remember. So my number three, another oldie but a goodie. Andy's going to know. Wes is going to know. Another baddie.
Oldie but a goodie, but a baddie.
Mike Tyson from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
Punch Out.
Good and the worst shit. Part about it is, so, like, I don't care. I've actually never beaten him. I have never beaten him. And I will fully, he's a baddie that I have on my list that I have never beaten. And I don't care.
Got to conquer it.
I do have to conquer it, so I can always like figure that out. But anyway, but the thing is
no cheat. Fuck that.
No, but the thing is the sequence you can figure out online, and it's all about perfect timing. But the only thing is you can have it even says if you mess up one time, you mess up once, you're gone. You're done. Right. And that's what always happens. Like, and I don't care who you are. I will go on and I will read that thing, and I've done it. And I've followed the sequence, and I've done it, and I was like, "All right, cool. I'm gonna cheat just so I can say I beat him." Doesn't matter.
Are you talking about like the paying attention to the one fan on the one side and making sure you punch every time the flash goes off?
Something like that. Yeah.
Because that's what I was talking about. Yeah, because that's a hack that someone found out, that there's someone on the left side, I believe, with a camera, and like every single time you see the flash is either when you're supposed to throw a punch or dodge. I forget which one.
But either way, if you follow that, I suppose you're supposed to be able to. Difficult, wow. And I have actually never beaten him.
Interesting. It's funny that you say that, because I wasn't going to use him, because I never actually played the OG Punch-Out. I played Super Punch-Out.
Oh, okay.
So I was going to put... No. I mean, I may have when I was younger, but I'm
pretty sure you have it.
No, I have Super Punch-Out on the Super Nintendo. We were playing it, because remember when Caden was over and he was just like, it's so pixelated. And I was like, hey, this is what we grew up on, Doug.
Yeah, it's not pixelated. This is fond memories. This is happiness.
This is what we used to say. Dude, it looks so real.
It looks so real. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Now it looks so real. Wait until like 10 years from now when we're actually in it.
In it,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, God. Scary. Anyway.
So my number three is from Resident Evil Code Veronica. And it is the T078 Tyrant, which I believe is what ends up turning into Mr. X, I think. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. But in Resident Evil Code Veronica, you come across this thing, basically this tyrant that Wesker lets loose. And it's just this big fuck. It looks like Mr. X. You know what it looks like. Imagine Mr. X, but without the fucking, the big ass fucking trench coat and hat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like him.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now.
In all his... Okay, so you see him, right? He's got like spike hands and shit.
Yeah.
Jesus, so, dude. But it's not... But it's a specific battle, because you see him a few times in that game. So,
okay.
Spoiler alert. This is a game from Dreamcast, so yes, I'm spoiling it at this point. So you fight him, and you know, you beat him, and you think that the game is over. I actually thought the game was over, because you do that well into the game, like hours and hours and hours, and you think the game's over. And one of the cool things about that game is at that point when you think the game's over, you still have half the game left. So you definitely get a lot of value.
That shit's
insane. So you know you beat him, you get on this plane, and you know you fly away, and you're like, oh, I fucking did it, thank God. But this specific battle, you find out that motherfucker gets on the plane with you. So you're in the plane, and you know, the one dude, I think, I forget what his name was in that game. But he's flying the plane, and you just hear this banging in the back, and they tell you to go check it out, and you go check it out, and it's this big fucking tyrant, and you're in a very, very enclosed. What did I say?
Not you.
There's dude, a barking there's, spider.
Yes. There's an actual fucking wavelength. Of him fucking fart.
What did I didn't fart. It was a barking spider. There's a duck.
Yeah, right.
I just bought a duck.
So yeah, this tyrant ends up in the back of the plane with you.
His name's Goose.
Yeah. Nope.
Not even joking. Like, for real, that shit popped up. I'm like, what?
You're in a very, very small space in the back of this fucking cargo plane, and there's like a button that you have to hit on the wall that will like release all these crates out of the back of the plane. So basically, you have to hit that to make the crate knock him out of the plane. But every time you hit the button, if you time it wrong and
Wes,
you hit
the button,
the crate, you have to wait.
I don't have the button.
You have to wait like a real
life. Bells.
Oh god! Wait, did I crack?
Oh yeah.
Boy, did you?
Oh really? That's how you know it's just part of your life and you don't even fucking notice. If you miss him with a crate, you have to wait like a real life 3 minutes to be able to do it again. So you're just like trying to evade this motherfucker in this small ass plane because like two hits from him and you're dead.
A real life 3 minutes. I would throw,
it's crazy.
Throw the Dreamcast controller, which weighed about 100 pounds, through the TV.
You damn right. Wes, what you got for number three?
All right, so my number three is the one that I have on my list that I didn't stream. Anthony will know this one well. Magni Emoti from God of War.
I was just saying, that sounds really familiar, yeah.
These are actually the Sons of Thor.
Yes, they are.
And you fight them as a team. Dude,
I hated that fucking battle.
Dude, that it was fucking a good battle sucked.
It was a good
battle.
Like,
yo, it was fantastic. Like, yo, I used Atreus like a motherfucker with that battle.
You have to.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely an amazing battle. Oh, my God. Holy shit. That's a good choice, dude.
Yeah, I'm picking some. I feel like I'm grabbing from a bag, you know what I mean, that not a lot of people are seeing me grab from. So yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you'll be surprised.
But, yeah, Magni Emoti, 100%. That shit was fucking nuts.
You ready for actually, my... and you can.
Oh, God, I'm dying. What the hell was that? Oh, man.
Dunkaroo done invaded by esophagus.
You gotta
ruin
yourself.
I was gonna say you could think them up on the fly, but I do have a couple honorable mentions.
So do I.
On my list. Okay, perfect.
I mean, I don't have them on my list, but I actually thought of a couple whilst talking.
We'll do it smart then. We'll do the honor like these other like most of these things.
Before
online.
We do number
we'll
one.
Honor- yep. Yeah. We'll do it that
way. My number two, to stay in fashion with Wes, from God of War, the best antagonist the entire fucking game. Wes, who is it?
Ares.
Come on. No, shut up.
Hades.
Shut the fuck up. I said Wes. You're not Wes.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, not to mention, he's just naming all the wrong shit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck do you go against in the fucking beginning? It's dude from the...
Balder.
There you go.
Balder,
guy
of the... Basically, I think in real Greek mythology, I'm pretty sure... Norse mythology, not Greek, sorry. Woof. Norse mythology, I'm pretty sure he's the god of light. Correct me if I'm wrong. Google it. But anyway, between his invulnerability... And I forget what else it was.
God of light.
God of light. Okay, so I was right. It basically makes him. It makes his mental state is basically unstable, and he's literally one of the best combatants I've ever fought, and most memorable, at least for recent and current games. It's not that he's hard to beat either, because he's really not. But the fact that what captured me for the entire game is when you first meet him, after you're done. Spoiler alert! Yuck. Is when you chop down that one tree, which is in the beginning of the game. You bring the tree back through the river. Once you're done doing all that kind of stuff, they go through like this little cutscene, and then boom, there he is. After they knock on the door, soon as Kratos walks out the door, they get into like this little talky match, and then fucking fisticuffs start happening. Gods go fucking flying everywhere. Now. The craziest thing is, like, it's all based on, like, timing, if you remember correctly, Wes. Did you play this game, Andy?
2018 God of War?
Oh, my God. You're really pissing me off. You better fucking play it before the new one comes out. And actually, dude, you could literally
you're
going
to need
that.
To because, dude, it falls. It flows. Obviously, it flows straight into Ragnarok.
And
so.
On top of that, because you're a PlayStation Plus member, it's literally fucking free right now on the PlayStation
Go get it.
PlayStation Store thing. But anyway, yeah, so after that fight ensues, Kratos literally snaps the dude's neck after they fucking split the world in half pretty much, right? Yep. So he snaps his neck and then shoves him over the edge of the cliff. He falls down. He's like, pretty much, got that guy I'm done with. Lo and behold, little bit of time goes by in the game. Boom, he shows up the fuck again. And you're like, what the fuck? Anyway, for me, one of the, for at least currently, one of the most exciting antagonists I've ever gone up against. Yes, Wes.
Now, with him, with Boulder, like one of the greatest things about that fight was the fact that like he kept on talking about not feeling pain.
I know. How fucking sick is that, dude?
Because like every time, like, dude, you throw him like 40 feet and he'd go, oh, can you give me something I can feel, please?
Exactly.
And
dude,
it was, dude, it was like, dude, dealing with a fucking masochist, dude. It was insane.
And,
it was
but the
so
reason
much
is,
fun.
Is that had to do with his invulnerability. His,
yes.
He literally, he could go into any fight he wanted without consequence at any time. It didn't
yes.
matter whether you killed him. He's coming back to life, bro. Like he can't die.
Yeah, he's dude. That's a great fucking pick.
And that's only my number two.
Scoop, what you got for two?
So what I have for number two.
You better get towards that mic, dude.
Yeah, like
what I have. Relax. I was fucking doing something.
Chill out, lady. Don't yell so, my mans.
Whatever. Oh, Wes is blushing.
You can tell.
Yes,
I can tell.
Yes, I can.
My
not
number
as dark
two,
as I thought.
My number two is. There's a bunch of games you can choose from, but it is Sigma from Mega Man X.
Oh, okay.
The,
yeah.
Ooh, the last battle. The last battle. Now it's obviously it's the battle in totality, but it's the last phase of it that's the craziest. So when you go against Sigma in Mega Man X, so first you go against his dog, which really doesn't have a whole lot of health. It's really not all that tough. And then you go against him where he's got like this fucking laser sword. It looks like a fucking lightsaber. And it's also tough, but both of those battles, if you can figure out the timing, you can pretty much get out of those two battles without even taking a hit because he kind of just bounces from like each side of the screen. So you figure out the timing, you're fine. But then the last phase of that battle, he goes into this like giant fucking mech suit and you have this tiny little spot where you can hit him where you have to like, he has these like mechanical hands that come out that have spikes on the bottom. So if you mistime your jump to get on top of him and you jump into the spikes, you're taking damage. In the middle of his palm, lightning shoots up. So you have to stick to like the sides of that platform. And then you have to be able to jump up and like shoot him in the head. And you have to do that a shitload of times. And even if you, either one of you familiar with Mega Man games?
Not as much as you.
Have you played them enough to know like what like sub tanks are and stuff like that?
Yeah, a little
so
bit.
They basically have for anyone who hasn't played throughout the level, you can in each game you can find four sub tanks to where if you have full health and an enemy drops health and you collect it, it'll fill a sub tank which you can then use if your health's getting low to replenish yours.
I gotcha.
You can get at most four in each game. Even if you have all four completely filled for this battle, it's still extremely hard to pull off. Huh. So that means your whole damn health bar can drain fucking four times and you still having trouble beating this guy.
That's pretty cool.
That's wild,
favorite,
dude.
It's one of my favorite games for Super Nintendo and one of like the hardest bosses I ever fought on Super Nintendo. So that's why that's in at number four.
Number two?
Number four.
Number two.
Yeah. My brain ain't the same.
My number two, I go back to Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Back to, because it was, I mean, she was talked about a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I am talking about Shriek. Now, Shriek is the horrible Frankenstein-ish bird-looking monster that you deal with all throughout the game. Like multiple times in the game, you have to go ahead and handle something or another with this thing. And that was another one that I beat on stream. That was another one that was insane. That was just. Dude, the entire game was just emotionally draining to me, especially when you actually figure out at the end with everything that the games, you mean with Blind Forest and Will of the Wisp and how everything's connected and, you know what I mean, listening to, you know what I mean, like the Big Frog,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, going ahead and talking like Jabba the Hutt and shit, like, it's just, but it, dude, it was so good. And I mean, like, yo, you had the timing stuff, you had to make sure you jumped in certain spots. You had to make sure you were dodging certain things that he was doing or she was doing. But, you know what I mean? Like, dude, it took me that was another one that took me probably like an hour and change, like an hour and a half to go ahead and finally fucking beat. And I died easily 20 times.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But yeah, man, that's one of the ones that I absolutely loved.
All right, so we're gonna go into the honorable mentions. I've got. So for me, it's not. They're not. One is a single character, and then the others are like kind of like mass. But I'll explain. And I'll just. I only have two, so I'll do them really quick. So first one is. See if Andy remembers. The Psycho.
Yevgeny.
From Until Dawn.
Ooh.
The clown mask.
Yeah.
Remember him? Okay, so that's honorable mention number one. And then honorable mention number two, I guess, and or three, all of the villains that are in the Spider-Man games for the PlayStation 4. So the original game, and that includes the Miles Morales.
Miles Morales.
Yeah. All extremely, again, my lists are not for like the toughness and this.
Yeah.
It's about, for me, like the most memorable moments. Like when you're finishing up the Miles Morales game and you're literally going up against your best friend. Like, dude, hard is that?
That, right? That's like my heart so hard.
Oh my god,
the end of that.
And
what a tough battle that actually was, too.
Exactly. And
that was a fantastic battle.
The battle was tough, right? But not outstandingly tough to the point where you're like, you're not gonna like beat it at some point. If you have to grind it out, but you're gonna beat it. The cinematic part of it, the heartstring pull in, it was just like overall a fantastic, fantastic sequence of everything.
I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah. And then currently, I'm actually finishing up all the DLCs. Finished up the one DLC last night for the Turf Wars in Spider-Man 4. Well, I'm not even going to talk about it. What are we playing? But anyway, all of
you
those.
You said you're not going to talk about it?
Nah, I mean, I guess I will a little bit. Anyway, all of those individual villains, same thing. Really good story behind it. Love the cinematics that go with it. And I like the battles overall because they're just fun. Those are mine.
Nice.
Sweet. So my honorable mentions, I have one of them is Lou from Guitar Hero 3, the devil. when you have to have that shred battle against the fucking devil.
I like it, dude. I like
it. That's a good one, dude.
So tough. So I actually was close to having him as number 5 on my list, but just because I have so many fond memories of that. Another one, I don't remember what they're called, but in my opinion, this is one of the most underrated games for the Super Nintendo and would easily be in my top 5, no doubt about it. It's called UN Squadron, where it's one of them side you're in like a fighter jet, like
side scroll
shooter. I forget what they call them now all of a sudden, like games like Gradius, UN Squadron, side scrolling shooters. I forget what they're called all of a sudden, but UN Squadron is a great game. And one of these levels, you have to go against these twin stealth bombers, and it's super fucking tough. That game's super legit though, because every level you do, you get points, and then you can either buy a new aircraft or like upgrade the weapons on your current one.
Nice.
It's such a fucking dope game.
I like
and
that.
The soundtrack is like pound for pound up there.
Are we talking like
with like any other game I've ever played?
Nice. We talking like Top Gun kind of soundtrack?
Yeah, like, dude, all of it.
Burn it.
Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's all good. But those are my honorable
like,
mentions.
Just like mushy like late 70s, early 80s fucking rock out with your
arena rock.
Socks out fucking.
Wes, what are your honorable mentions, bro?
I really didn't think of all that many, to be honest with you, but
we can come circle back to you.
No, it's fine.
Number one. Doesn't make
sense. Well, we're about to go number one. Are we going to talk about, like, because on the guideline we had, yeah, I know, I'm not connecting sentences. On the guideline, we had like co-op boss battles, easiest boss battles. Are we still going to talk about those? Or are we not worried about those?
Yeah. Maybe not. We'll talk about our co-op ones. We'll talk about that's just going to be a, you know, we're not listing. Okay. We're just kind of talking about it.
It's a collective list.
Yeah.
So, honorable mention, I'll put probably Terramorphous, you know what I mean, from Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a solid one, dude. That motherfucker.
Any of those bosses, you could fight single player or multiplayer, so it would count either way.
Yeah, but single player was just.
You're dead.
Jesus Christ, that shit was fucking horrible.
Any raid boss. Pick any raid boss in any Borderlands game and you could put that in there.
Yeah, it's true. No, you're not wrong. But I really don't have anything else. You know, I'm trying to think of other ones, but I can't. I don't have anything that's popping up in my mind. But
what you got for what's your number one?
What's your number one?
All right, so this one
I'm actually really excited for mine too.
This one was he Okay, so let me break it down for you really quick, and I think Andy's going to know where I'm going. So he was not really considered a boss throughout the entire game until the very, very end, when, spoiler alert, you had to fight him.
Yep, I know where this is going.
So for me, because these types of games, because it's a single player and the story is so in depth and it draws you in, like a lot of games for me, for a lot of really story driven single player games do, and they do their job so well. This was actually, and I don't get emotional in games, but this was a very emotional fight for me. And it's Lord Shimura from Ghost of Tsushima. It's actually his uncle who took him in after his father was killed, or, well, died.
And you got to fight him.
And so this entire time, as you are the Ghost of Tsushima, you are taking back his land, right? He is the Lord of Tsushima, Lord Shimura. He is the Lord of all of Tsushima. So basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to force out the Mongol enemies throughout the entire game, take back over all of it. And it comes down to, at the end, basically you continue to be the Ghost of Tsushima, right? And you continue to liberate the people and stuff like that, and help the people that really need it. Or, if I remember correctly, you basically fight alongside him, and you would end up taking over Lord of all of Tsushima.
Nice.
I remember watching Anthony's face as he was doing this, because, and it was like, I could tell he was feeling some shit.
And I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, I think I beat it the first go around. Or maybe not. I might have died like one time because I think you died one mistake.
Yeah, you made
because
like
it's,
one.
Because again, it's all about timing and parrying and then going back in for the kill. But this for me was extremely tough, because like the whole time you're like, cool, I'm doing this to help him. I'm doing this to
for family.
Yeah, it's literally his uncle who took him in after his father dies. So for me, and I didn't think I would get like emotional. Like, I didn't, like, no tears or nothing, but I didn't expect to, like, it emotionally.
Have it hit you.
Yeah, and it fucking did, bro. Like, it hit me unlike any other fucking, like, boss battle ever. And I was like,
dude,
this is the craziest thing ever.
Right before it started, Anthony was just like, tell me I don't have to do this. Tell me I don't have to do this right now. And I was like, well, I think you have to do this right now.
And, like, the big thing about it is that you get so enveloped in this game, and especially with a game like Ghost of Tsushima, which is based in Japan, and Japan's folklore and everything about them with family and about, you know,
family,
I mean, honor,
pride and honor. That's like,
you know what I'm saying?
That's
so going like ahead and have, dude, like that's, yo, having to go ahead and have that battle at the end, dude, I can only imagine, you
but
know what I'm saying? What that had.
But
to
that's
been.
Only the first part of it. What made it worse is it was either I had two options and you have to choose. It's part of the end game. You have to choose. You either kill him or you let him die on his own. And so I played the game as if I was a samurai in that time. So basically I killed him. Right. I gave him an honorable death.
Basically I killed him.
I killed him.
Yeah, well, because it's either you let him die, or you basically give him the honorable samurai death that he is welcomed, that he deserves.
Yeah, because that was in Yasuke. It was the same thing.
Yasuka.
In the beginning of that, right? Yes. Yeah, Yasuka, sorry. You know what I mean? And that was one of the things that, I mean, everybody kind of like got mad at him about. But he's like, I was doing what my lord commanded.
Exactly. And it wasn't even a command. It's something he asked for, right?
Yeah, it's the code.
It's not. Yeah, exactly. So, yes, I ended up killing him at the end. I was very, very...
distraught.
A little bit, yeah. I was
mentally distraught, not necessarily like emotionally distraught.
Yeah,
but
I was
mentally
just like
distraught.
That's not something I wanted to do, and that's not like Andy watched me play like a bulk of that game too, like at least three quarters of it, right? So like, he didn't really have too much like attachment like I did, or maybe he did and I don't know, but he still had a little bit of attachment. He understood like when that time came, like I was not ready for that at all, dude. Like, that was the most unexpected like plot twist I've ever seen it. Well, not ever seen it in a game, but it was up there and it was just like insane. Hey, fun fact, why don't we do that as an episode?
Plot twist?
Plot twists.
I'll put it on the list.
Like top five plot twists. Or not, it doesn't even have to be top five. It could be like top three. It doesn't have to be like a long list.
Love it.
I didn't even think about that.
Love it.
But yeah, super, super crazy plot twist. Wasn't expecting it. Super sad about it. I'm done. Andy, go for it. Number one. What do you got?
So number one for me, this was the easiest one on my list. I didn't even have to think for a second. And I would imagine me saying that, you guys would absolutely think that you would know what I'd be picking. You'd probably never guess. But because it goes back to what you were talking about, it's something that just, it sticks in my memory and was so fucking crazy I could never get it out of my mind. Number one, Metal Gear Solid Psycho Mantis. Now, have any of you ever played that game?
I've never played a Metal Gear game.
Psycho Mantis, I'm not gonna give you a crazy backstory. Let's just say he had crazy ass telekinetic powers that he made sure he had to show you. And when I mean show you, this is the craziest thing. Now remember, Metal Gear Solid, you're talking PlayStation, much younger. I can't tell you how old I was, but definitely younger. Definitely. And Psycho Mantis, when you first come across the same thing. When you first come across Psycho Mantis, he has to brag about his telekinetic powers and shit like that, and how he can read minds and shit. So literally, as you're playing this game, you're playing a video. This has never happened in a video game before. I'm playing Metal Gear Solid, and he's like, you have no, like, he says some shit like, you have no idea about, you know, about what I know. Like, I know more about you than you think. Like, I know how much you enjoy. And then he rattled off other games that I played on PlayStation. Like, I know how much you enjoy.
I heard about this.
How much you enjoy playing Castlevania. And then he'll tell you how many times you saved. Like, oh, you'd think you'd be a little better. You saved a lot of times in that game. And then he's like, oh, that's not funny. Enough for you. Go ahead and sit down your controller. And this is weird because that's like the first time that a game had ever like broken the fourth wall and someone in the game was like talking like to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is so weird. And he was like, you're still not convinced? Put down your controller. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now? I put down my controller and like he grabs his head and starts going like this, and all of a sudden the controller just starts vibrating like crazy because it goes with the vibration on the controller.
That's amazing.
It was fucking nuts. And because he knows everything, when you start the actual battle with him, you can't do anything. You move left, he moves the other way. You shoot, he knows how to block. He knows everything you're going to do. The only way you can beat Psycho Mantis, you physically have to take your controller out of port one and put it into port two so he can read your mind and read what you're going to do. That's how, and like, that's, and so then you sick. Fight the battle.
That is clever.
It is. It was one of the crazy, I'd that's never seen so that. And cool. I've still never seen it since that. In a game. Yeah, I've never seen anything that like that wild. In a game.
I wonder if they had code in the game wildest... itself to read like previous things that you like. Still, like, you're saved. Yeah, like you're saved.
Got to see your library.
Yeah,
but like when that's you're like, so cool. but when you're like way younger and your brain doesn't even connect to how the fuck they're doing that.
Either way,
it was
bro,
the weirdest.
You,
it was the.
But if you didn't tell us about this and you sat Wes and I down to play this game and didn't know about it, we would be the so same confused. Way in a fuck at 35 and 30, 40.
Yeah.
Oh god!
Oh my god!
Don't do that too much. Your arthritis is gonna act up.
Yeah, your friends gonna fall off.
But yeah, it was so wild. Like you're talking to him in the beginning, and like he's like, it's weird when a character is talking to you, and he's telling me to like turn my system off and shit like that. And like I actually almost did it at one point because I'm like, is this part of what I have to do? Like this doesn't make any sense. Like, but it was the
like
craziest
that,
thing.
Man.
So
wild.
That unequivocally is my number one because that's always stuck out as like one of the most interesting things I've ever.
You know, it's funny too. I heard
before.
About that. Like one of the most like intriguing games ever played, and it is that game, and that guy.
That's and he's funny. A creepy looking fucker too. I'll send you guys a picture of him.
Wes, stop yawning. What do you got for number one?
So my number one is actually, I think maybe the second major boss that I beat in a game on stream. Okay. This was one that Andy was excited for me to first see this guy. Let alone my final battle with him. And I am talking about the tyrant himself, the big dog, 001, Mr. X.
That's dope as
from Resident Evil 2 Remake.
you better tell this fucking shit correctly, because if you don't go into detail how epic your battle with him was and how you pulled that off,
and he's like, "Don't worry, I will. I will fill in all of the spots."
Oh, I'm gonna need you to fill in the spots because I don't, because it, dude, it was a blur just trying to fucking do it, because like I had the normal 9mm, and then so I ran through that, and then I had what the fuck was it, the Magnum?
Creepy as fuck, right?
What was the gun? Was the Magnum?
You did have a Magnum. Yes, you had a Magnum. You had your, and then you had your regular handgun, I believe.
Yeah.
And I forget what else you had.
Well, I mean, there was the big ass rocket launcher that was, you mean, kind of thrown down on that platform.
That's part of the thing. That's not what you went into the battle with.
Yes.
You have to get to a certain point before that even happens.
Yeah, but like just being able to figure out when to shoot what body parts and being able to dodge, and I beat him on the first run too, I think. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I used my health very, very well in that game. And it was just so much fun. Blowing that motherfucker up in half was delightful. Like, dude, yo, that was just, it was so cathartic. Like, dude, you just felt like, you felt so good when you're done beating that guy.
You know, I've watched you play so many video games before, and for as much as you hate scary horror games, I don't think I've ever seen you play a game where you've had more ridiculous moments in a game than when I watched you play that. From
Resident Evil 2,
got,
yeah.
From like when you got that one dude with your very last grenade. You had no ammo left.
Oh,
you had
yeah.
one grenade left.
Oh yeah.
And you ended up killing him with your fucking with your very last grenade.
Yeah, that was down in the lab. That was down in the lab after defeating Mr. X.
That was William, that was Birkin, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would still love you to play three, but yeah, but between that and then your battle with the tyrant, my god.
Yeah, dude, I, like, you know, that game definitely had some awesome vibes when it comes down to like how you mean like how to, you mean, how to beat the games, and you mean just the overall feel, you know what I'm saying, when everything was actually said and done. Like mm-hmm. I said, dude, that one felt like there was such good euphoria.
Yeah.
To go ahead and use a different word. There was such euphoria with that, you know, I mean, with that destruction of Mr. X. But we gave you our top five. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you what y'all wanted. When I'm talking about this next part of this thing, we're gonna go into co-op boss battles. So obviously I'm gonna talk about a little bit of Borderlands. Handsome Jack, you know what I mean, he sits on my list at number one when it comes down to co-op. I mean, look, I've beaten him solo plenty of times, but you know, facing against him with a team is always more fun.
I have one that I'm hoping that I feel like maybe Anthony would have forgotten, but I feel like once I say it, I'm going to look at his face and he's going to be like, oh, yeah. So I'm actually kind of excited.
Believe it or not, I actually don't really have any.
Oh, well, you'll have plenty to talk about because
that's good.
The one I got, I went against with you. So,
oh wow,
exactly. That's why you're gonna be like, oh yeah, fuck
yeah. Like I honestly don't, I don't have any that
we played a lot of games together. So it's gonna be tough,
and that's the thing, we have played a shitload of games together, and so like the thing is like I can't. My biggest, so I'll give you one. My biggest fucking boss battle every fucking game that I've not game every time I've played is fucking Andrew Skubiak himself playing fucking NHL hockey. Right,
leave it there. Don't continue any further.
And let me say, now that I have gotten good enough to embarrass him at his own fucking game, it's amazing.
Amazing. That's the part that I didn't want to get to.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. I embarrassed the shit out of you when played the other night.
I felt really good in that first half there.
Yeah, he was like, ah, dude, I scored.
I was
like
the boss. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-mm, not no more. Daddy done taking over. No. Boss ain't. Daddy ain't scared of that boss no more. But anyway, there's my boss.
Wes, you go ahead.
I mean, look, I don't have anything else really for co-op. Okay. Another one that we were talking about was we could have been a top again was for Too Easy. And
oh yeah, yeah.
And like my,
I only had one for that.
So I only have one, and well, I mean, it's, I mean, it goes over an entire game series, but it makes sense. And it's every single Elite Four you go up against in any Pokemon game.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They are trash. Like your teams are like, So when I play Pokemon, I always go for like the characters, the Pokemon I like or what I know is going to be the strongest team, regardless of weaknesses. Mm-hmm. So when I do that, going up against these fucking Elite Four, whether they have Dragon, whether they have Psychic, whether they have Fighting, like I always have one guy with at least one move that can counter what they're doing and I'm good. You know what I mean? To where that the battles don't mean shit. Like, yo, that's one of the things that I actually like about Legends. You know what I mean? There is no Elite Four. You know what I mean? There is no, you know what I'm saying, like, ultimate Pokemon master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And do you have anything for Too Easy?
For Too Easy?
Yeah.
I mean, not that they were easy, but a lot of the like if we played like the Borderlands games together, believe it or not, those boss battles weren't as hard as if you were to play it single player. We'll put it that way.
Agreed.
They were definitely, even though they were scaled to having more people more people in the game itself, it was still a lot easier.
Especially in three, the bosses when you were running solo were definitely easier.
That's it for me though.
Tincture, right, so, what you got?
So. For Too Easy, before we go back into the co-op ones, Too Easy was definitely Professor Nakayama. And it's funny that I said that to you because this is Borderlands and now I'm doing it. It was from one of the DLCs. It was from Hammerlock's Big Game Hunt.
Okay.
So Borderlands 2, did you ever play that?
I did play that one. I don't remember running all the way through it though.
Okay, so Dr. Nakayama, the reason I say this is Too Easy, and in Borderlands, this is obviously hilarious. So it's a two phase boss fight. So you fight him, and then like he goes up to the top of this.
I know what you're talking about now because we talked about this before.
Yeah. So for anyone who's never played this, so you fight this guy. He goes up to the top of the stairs and is like, "Okay, you got lucky. Whatever, whatever. Now, like, here's my true form." And then he goes to take one more step, and he falls down all flights of stairs, the entire flight of stairs. And every step he hits, you just see his health bar going all the way down. So you never actually have to do anything. He kills himself falling down the stairs. So that was obviously incredibly easy.
I mean, I feel like that one sits a little more with the classic Borderlands fashion of just being, yeah. It's something you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. Also, because I forgot, honorable mention from, and Anthony would be the only one to know about this, if he did it, I'm not sure, or if he even tried. Wes, you wouldn't.
That's fine.
Honorable mention from South Park, the fractured butthole, Morgan Freeman.
That was so tough.
Morgan Freeman is so like damn near virtually impossible to beat. He runs a taco so place good. Called
but you have to
called,
beat him
Freeman's Tacos.
You unlock
there's a trophy. I mean, he's not actually a part of the game to where like you fight him at the end of Stick of Truth, right? Where you act that is a part of the game. Or does he just come in at that last battle? I forget.
I don't know. Either way, I know what you're talking about. You don't have to fight him, but if you want to unlock the trophy and do the whole trophy hunting thing or achievement thing, you have to battle him.
Yeah.
So tough,
but
so good.
He has so much HP. It's ridiculous, and his attacks do insane damage. But anyway, so back to co-op.
When you're a badass, you're a badass.
Back to co-op battles. I did this one with Anthony. So we played. Now you could pick anyone from this game, really, if you wanted to, because they're all pretty hard. I think you played the game a little bit, Wes. I don't know how much you did, but it's a game called Remnant from the Ashes.
I was thinking you were going to point this one out.
Do you remember the Undying King?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Exactly.
His voice says enough.
Yeah.
So the Undying King, dude, it was ridiculous. It took us probably like 30 fucking tries to beat this fucking thing because you have this dude who has a shitload of fucking health and power already. And then he has like two orbs that he randomly places that will shoot shit at you while you're trying to run around. And then there's other like mini bosses that he has that pop out of these little fucking coffins that you have to try to do at the same time.
If you need to work on communication, that's the guy you learn how to deal with.
Absolutely. Because every time we died, we sat down for like 5 minutes, like, okay, where can we go? How can we do this differently? What can you take? What can I take? How can we like give this up to where we fucking stay alive?
Yeah. Out of the 30 tries, an hour, 2.5 hours of it was literally strategy of how to beat this guy.
We did finally do that, and
it was so hard. But like I said, you could pick a lot of bosses from that game, because another one, there's this...
who was the one where you fucking fought at the end?
I don't remember, but also remember the two... they were they moths or bees or whatever the fuck they were? There was two of them. We were on that skinny bridge.
Yep.
And there was two of them. You also had that big ass fucking tree.
Yep.
Remember that shot like the poison spores and shit? Yep. That would... The whole game had ridiculous. That game had a lot of like Dark Souls feel to it.
But it was really good though. It was a good game.
Yeah. That was a whole lot of fucking fun. So that's it for my
Yeah. That's it.
All right, yo, that was some good list. And actually no crossover, really.
No.
It was actually pretty solid.
We had crossover
game-wise,
but not bosses.
We only had one.
But it was just you and me.
It was just me and Wes, yeah.
Yeah.
This time it was God of War, but that's because we're the only two that played it. Had you played it, we might have actually had some more crossover.
Probably, yeah, probably.
I think so.
Bro, you got to play that game.
Probably. Yes. We gave you the bosses. Now let's give you news. All right, I only have three stories here, actually pretty simple. Well, I mean, look, man, these are pretty simple stories. So, you guys have been playing or finished A Plague Tale, right?
Yes. Finished?
Playing.
Almost finished.
Basically finished, yeah.
So, there is going to be a TV series adaptation for this game.
Really?
I'm not excited. You want to know why?
That's incredible.
You want to know why? Because you just sent us a fucking snapshot of this like not that long ago. You're going to put some fucking schmomo in place of fucking doing this, and it's a goddamn video game that's going to be turned into a fucking thing, and then you're going to make the whole thing not a thing, and I'm going to be fucking pissed.
I hope that's not the case. I know what you're talking about, the Halo thing.
Can we bring that up really quick, Wes?
Sure.
Was that part of your news, though?
No, but go ahead.
Okay, so was it a tweet or was it just like a snap of like a news article?
Unclear.
Okay,
am I the one that did it or
you sent it? You sent it in group to both of us.
About the person who did the Halo series. Okay, did not care about the Halo series
for Paramount Plus, if I'm correct, right? That's what
it's
on.
Yes, it is Paramount Plus.
They
did
absolutely no fucking research on this game whatsoever. The only research they did was on the characters. Well, not even the characters per se. The name
of
the characters.
Just like what the name of the character is.
And I guess like locations. They didn't do any justice for the fans that actually played the fucking game. If I'm somebody, if I have never, hear me out.
God, I love this. And also, not to mention, our fans love this. I have people telling me how much they love when you go off.
Okay.
So please.
Okay, well, I'm going to do it again. So, hear me out. If I have never touched a video game in my entire life, right? But
I swear to God, from Staten Island.
I have been put in charge to make an adaptation of a video game. I'm going to play the game, right?
Yeah.
Right? And then as I play the game, I'm going to take notes. Like, hey, this is the character. Hey, okay.
Again, you'd think.
And then every new location I get to, notes. Every little baddie, notes. Every little sequence that I have to go through, notes. I see your hands raised. I'm not done monologuing. Shut up. Okay, I'm done. how do you do this fucking research on a goddamn game that has like one of the largest fucking cult followings in the entire fucking video gaming universe? How do you not do that? How do you not do that?
So to break it down a little bit more, the showrunners for the Halo TV series, they went to 343. They talked with them, but they didn't talk with them about anything that had to do with the actual like run of any of the games themselves. What they did is that they talked with him more about John. They talked to them more about, you know what I mean? His OG team that he had in the lore, because it seems like that's basically what you're going to be running with in this TV show.
Yeah, it's
which is something we actually didn't get much of in the games themselves.
Now,
besides Halo 5.
Yeah, now, but do you remember?
Okay. Sorry.
I was going to say, do you remember what he said his reasoning was for not doing that? He
had because it gives you creative freedom.
Okay, I just want to know the only reason I bring that up is because
God,
now,
I hate that.
Like, does it not seem... I mean, he's just clearly the first person to say it. Does that not seem to possibly be the reason why, like, every video game movie fucking
sucks? Like Resident
Evil. Maybe they all
trash.
Do. See, yeah, maybe they all do that. They don't actually do research like, on games because they don't want to be stripped.
So here's what I was going to come up with. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about this. Yeah, I know. I'm all sorts of right here.
No, this whole news thing just went into fucking fuck the news.
It took us to a bad place,
I love it.
Man.
I love it. So it is one of the things that I'm at least somewhat. I mean, it's just one of the things that I'm at least somewhat happy about with Borderlands. At least Randy Pitchford is a part of it.
Yeah, you can be a part of it all the fuck you want. I bet you fucking $10, they're fucking going to go off of lore and fucking creative whatever.
They already said it's not going to be canon with the video game series.
Yeah, they already said that. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Which is
fucking fun. Ruin everybody's fucking life like you have been since
If they're telling the truth, that is what makes me super excited about the Uncharted movie, because they did say that they made it personal to make sure that they went in and, you know.
Well, and so if you
I mean, Tom Holland at least played the fucking game.
Correct.
Yeah, and he spent a shitload of time with Nolan North.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To talk to him about, which
exactly.
Obviously.
And what was really cool about that is like he did an interview too, like what is like before he ever even talked about like doing the whole playing of the character. They were like, hey,
Nathan Drake.
Yeah, but they were like, hey, just out of curiosity, like this was before like the whole like Nathan Drake thing, even before I think he did Spider-Man, as he was doing, they're like, hey, just out of curiosity, because he was young, he's playing video games. Like, what's your favorite video game that you've ever played? He's like, oh, Uncharted for sure. Uncharted. And now he's fucking playing Nathan. You know,
so
you know,
like,
so,
if
the
that's
thing
the,
is,
like,
I'm right there with you.
If that's the truth, I can look. The only bit of weird shit that I ever had, just because I played the games and I know what the characters look like, was when I heard that Mark Wahlberg was going to be Sully.
Yeah,
and but if that's the most head scratching thing about that, but they actually did the movie right, I can look past that. One, because he's a good actor, so I'm sure he'll figure out a way to make it.
He's an okay actor, so. And two, you easily could have got somebody else. When you get somebody to play Sully, you get somebody who, and I'm not saying this because like he's my spirit animal, but you get somebody.
I swear you're going to say Willem Dafoe.
Tom Selleck, because he fits the build of Sully. He's got the, you just got to dye it white and dye his hair white. But
I would have thought more of the more of like the quote unquote sidekick character from Burn Notice. You know what I mean? That guy who kind of was like a Sully type of dude.
Yeah, you could easily fucking put him in there.
You're
talking about the dude. You're talking about the same guy who played Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Yeah, something Campbell, right?
Yes. Yes. I think there's a video game actually coming out.
Yeah, but like, dude, he would be perfect for it.
Oh my God, 100%.
He would be 100%.
Because of the way he plays characters and shit like that.
Yeah.
And just like his.
He has the body for it. Plus, he has the body. He looks like Sully.
Yeah. You know who
else?
Like,
for real, he looks like Sully. Oh,
who's that? Hold on. I was going to say, like, my main point is, if the only thing I have negative to say is that I think maybe you could have had a different casting choice for one of the characters, but everything else, like, I actually believe that I'm watching an Uncharted movie, I'm fine with it. I'm good. Because what good is getting the characters right if you don't even do your research on the fucking movie?
The actor I was going to say who actually literally just passed away was William Hurt.
William Hurt, yeah.
He literally looks just like him.
Absolutely.
He looked just like him. You throw a mustache on him,
on him. Yeah.
I mean, if you had been running with an older version of Nathan Drake, then yeah, he would have been perfect.
That's fair. That's true. I didn't think about that either.
That's the only reason why I said the guy from Burn Notice, because the guy from Burn Notice is still young enough to go ahead and look like a younger Sully.
I still think
Mark Wahlberg.
I think throw a mustache on.
I think he did.
Oh, he did.
He has a mustache in the movie. Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely. He has the iconic mustache, all that stuff.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I think that they're able to get away with using him and not using someone that looks like the typical Sully is because the time period that they're going with, we've never actually seen. Because yes, Tom Holland's playing him, but like, so when you play Uncharted 3, you're seeing Drake as like a teenager,
like a young kid.
All the other ones, he's already an adult.
Yes,
this is like him in his like early 20s. So you've never actually seen Sully at that time, so I guess that's how they get away with being like,
well, don't they? So
we can kind of say how he looks.
And the thing is I'm pretty sure this is like when they first meet. because I don't think they know each other. I think they first
it's their meet. First actual
this is
interaction.
Actual first actual interaction. So you, the, I I'm agree
not,
with
I'm
you.
Not sure. Well, did you play Uncharted 3? Because that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure because in
I
Uncharted
played all
3,
them.
You
except for no, well, I actually remember, played 4.
Well, according to the according to the game, so when you play Uncharted 3, they do meet with him as a teenager. Because remember, he tries to steal Sully's wallet.
Right, and I think that's what happens in this movie. I'm actually pretty sure that's part
of the
So
you think that Tom Holland is actually playing as a kid?
Yes.
Okay.
As,
I'm not
as,
sure.
Not like a kid, but as an early or a
obviously he's
early
20s.
No.
He's not
20s.
Playing Uncharted 1 or 2, Nathan Drake.
No,
not,
he's
I know,
playing,
we know
he's
that.
Playing Nathan, he's playing Nathan Drake number 3, like when you go through that sequence. I'm pretty sure he's playing 17, 18, 19-year-old Nathan Drake, not even 20-year-old.
I'm thinking.
And that's okay. That makes more sense to what Andy said as to him being able to get away and using somebody like Mark
Wahlberg.
And I see,
think
I'd be,
I think
I'd be better off being able to watch this movie because I've only played the first Uncharted.
Oh my God, play the rest, please.
Dude, they're so great.
I understand play that. The rest, and I still have your entire collection here, Andy. It's just the fact that...
You said that because I was trying to figure out what the fuck...
Oh, no, no, it's here.
Yeah,
here.
And I also have your Until Dawn, and I also have your... Jedi.
But you might as well just kick Until Dawn straight over to us for Freaky Friday. But, you know, I think they're trying to worry. And again, if it works, that's fine. I think they may have picked Mark Wahlberg because I'm wondering if they're trying to focus more on, like, the banter between the two of them than, like, straight up what they look like.
Yeah.
Because, like, that banter between Sully and Drake throughout all the games is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, well,
and I guess they know that Mark Wahlberg can probably pull that off.
You know who else they could have used, and they've been working together for a long time, and they have the banter outside of the actual movies, is they could have used fucking...
The Rock and Kevin Hart.
No, God, they're in everything together anymore. I don't care. Oh my God, he plays Tony Stark. Why can't I think of his actual name?
RDJ.
Robert Downey Jr.?
Thank you. They could have used Robert Downey Jr. All he's got to do is grow the mustache and he's done. He literally...
I mean, they could have used Benedict Cumberbatch as well.
No, he doesn't fit the
bill.
But
he would have had a fucking...
He doesn't
shake off the whole accent, though.
Yeah.
Which he does.
Yeah,
dude.
But Robert...
I know he can, but
Robert Downey Jr. actually probably...
He could just do it.
He could literally just grow the mustache and do it.
Because obviously they're not trying to go. Because think about it. If they
and
if
he
they
still
literally
he,
were just
yeah, he's still at that age where he could have actually played and transitioned into the older style of Nathan Drake.
Yeah, say if they were just going strictly off of who can we get that looks the most like them, they would have gone with what's. I'm pretty sure they share a fucking name. The dude that played him in like the little movie short that someone created that you can see on YouTube, Nathan something or other.
Oh,
I think
Nathan
his last name starts with an F. Yes,
he's from this
and
area.
Nothing, literally looks like a spitting image of Nathan Drake.
Yeah, dude,
that's
but from
because
Castle
I'm pretty sure
and...
that they pretty sure that's who they used as like a whole.
No, they used an act.
No,
what? I thought you were gonna say that's who they used like for the likeness in the game.
I'm pretty sure they did.
No, there's a legit person I can show you him that they used for Nathan Drake.
Okay, well, as we continue, Wes, what are your other stories that we literally just said fuck it?
I only got two more after that, but. So I want to talk about the something you guys just saw, the new poster for Sonic 2, and I just want to just throw real quick. Just it looks like basically identical to the fucking box art from the original Sonic 2 game. Like the shit just looks so good with Sonic and Miles and Robotnik having his hand over the two.
So it makes sense, by the way, when I was looking up. But we were both wrong, but it does make sense actually if you think of his demeanor. Apparently the there was no likeness that they went for, period, with like his looks. But when they were thinking up Nathan Drake, everything they had in mind, they took off Johnny Knoxville. Which makes sense. Think of how Nathan Drake talks and how like the shit that he says. That's like Johnny Knoxville to a fucking T. So
then also Nathan like, Fillion is not from around this area.
I thought he was.
Nah, dude, he was born
or
in
does he like maybe he likes this area. Anyway.
He might like this area, but yeah.
I'm literally looking at the video game, and he
unless
looks nothing
of...
like Johnny Knoxville.
No. I said
what, he didn't say likeness. Says, he said he.
Well,
he
no,
said
because
basically
it does
the way
say,
he
it
talks.
Does, it does say here. It says his appearance and charisma were based on actor and Daredevil Johnny Knoxville. Appearance and charisma. Yeah, I don't see appearance.
I still wouldn't call
so
Johnny
I
mean. Knoxville an actor, but
yeah, he's like a stunt. He's a Daredevil. who made movies.
He's a lunatic. That's what he is. He's a fucking lunatic.
Take that away from him, I'll tell you that.
No, sure. Nathan Fillion is actually from Canada.
And again, Nathan Fillion would have made sense if they were doing the like the older.
Yes.
Nathan Drake.
100%. Obviously. All right, yeah, so the Sonic 2 poster. Look, we're getting the movie on the 8th. I still need to go ahead and see the first one. I still haven't seen the first one. But I know, really? I mean, I've heard from both you guys that it's good, so I'm definitely going to.
It's so much fun.
What?
He still hasn't seen the first Sonic movie.
First Sonic.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, I know.
You know how bad it is if I see a movie that you haven't seen, considering I watch zero movies, like, ever?
I watch less than you.
Let me tell you something. I swear to God, y'all are always watching movies.
I'm never watching movies.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially kids' movies.
I don't watch any fucking movies.
Okay, fine. So I watch Encanto on repeat. Like, basically, that's all I have. Encanto and fucking Hamilton.
Oh, okay. This motherfucker will watch Sing 97 times, but won't watch fucking Sonic.
Yeah, because my kids will wig the fuck out if I try to put something else on other than whatever movie they start screaming for.
That's when you go, look, trust Dad, you're going to like this. That's where you go, wait. That's where you go,
run the roost, bro. Run the roost.
That's where you go, wait. You
don't
like
let
Sing?
The roost run you.
You like Sing, yeah? Dad picked that for you, right? Did Dad do a good job? Yes. Then check this out. You're going to like this too.
Yeah, that logic don't work on a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yes, it does. I have a 5-year-old. She's a bitch, but it works. I say that with the utmost love of my daughter. Relax.
Don't worry, I'm not keeping it.
Relax, people.
Last article I have has to do with Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, and the reason why I'm talking about it is because we are actually finally getting 100% full co-op play.
Nice.
PlayStation finally relinquished their bullshit, and they signed up to be a part of the crossplay. So now you can go ahead and run PC, you can run Xbox, you can run PlayStation, and everybody can run together.
Yay.
I've been doing a little bit of research on this game because I am very curious on the game itself, because I have reservations when it comes down to this game, because I'm just afraid it's just going to be just a copy and paste of Borderlands 3. But everything that I'm seeing with this, people are actually saying that it is better than Borderlands 3. So, yeah, I mean, look, the game comes out March 28th, I believe, or 25th, one of the two. But yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited to see what everybody says about it. I mean, like, I'll probably pick it up later on when I'm catching some shit on a sale, but I mean, we'll see what goes on. And that's all there is in news. So, now it is time to go ahead and let all the crew members at home and the ones abroad, we're going to tell you what we are playing.
Yeah, sure, I'll go first.
So I realized that I have played Horizon Forbidden West for over 40 hours.
Nice. It's not long enough. Keep going.
A level 36. I hit 36 today. And I've only done maybe half a dozen main missions. Dude, I run through side missions. I hunt the apex predators. I go after all the little shit that I need to go ahead and boost up my my pouches and stuff like that. But nah, man, dude, it's been an insane amount of fun. I am loving every single bit of it. What else? Played a little more Back 4 Blood with the boys. That's been fun. I mean, that's just always a good time. Just trying to survive in that game is actually a lot more fun than I ever anticipated. And then other than that, yeah, man, Fridays, chill. I absolutely shit the bed royally. Like, the bed was completely filled, 3 feet full of shit, with how badly I played, and you mean between the pipes. So,
dude, we all did that for a game.
We all did that, yeah.
We all did.
I was so bad. I literally texted you guys and said, I'm out.
Yo!
Dude, I didn't rage out.
I was just like, yeah, I'm not going to fucking... I was like, after
you
that...
You silently rage, bro. No, that's a silent rage.
No, because, like, there was no rage or anger.
When you disconnect and don't even say goodbye to your boys, that's a silent rage.
I did.
You did it on text after.
You did it on text,
bro. Like, yo, you could have turned the mic on and been like, yo, I'm out.
It wasn't worth it.
I want you to listen to that stream so badly.
Oh, shit. So good.
I was over that whole thing. I was like,
yeah, we didn't do that great in the when the three of us were playing, but then
we also played 3v3 with
Which with, is a, tough. With a human goalie. Yeah.
That was
but so
really
after Anthony jumped off. Andy and I, yeah, I mean, we look, man. I have the fucking card. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, I mean, I went ahead. I smoked my shit. I got nice and high, and then ran in the fucking threes eliminator, and we won another fucking cup, dude.
This one was even more ridiculous because the team that we beat in the finals, I knew something was up because we, first of all, it was just me, Wes, and the fucking mascot, and we went up against three actual people, and two of them were purple, one of them was blue.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, these guys are fucking ridiculous. And they went up on us 5-0. They went up 5-0 on us. And we came all the way back and won 7-5. And then when I checked these guys out, each one of them had over 2,500 points. The one guy had like, 1,500 goals. The other guy had like 1,068 goals and like 1,145 assists or some shit. It was nuts the amount of points these guys had. We just fucking,
I don't know how we did it, but we fucking did it, and it was
pissed in their Cheerios.
Andy and I have already pulled some bullshit out of our ass like that before.
Yep.
When you go up, you like in last year's game, when you go up against like the fucking what top like 30th team in the fucking entire game, and you beat them somehow 2-1, you're like, what?
How?
Yeah, every time it's fucking insane.
So you had something to talk about. You said you jumped back into...
Oh, yeah. I jumped back into...
DLC.
I jumped back into the DLC, the second DLC. Well, I jumped back into Spider-Man altogether because I did say I was going to try and
beat
it. Yeah, and play all the DLCs and stuff like that. I did already 100% the first game, the game altogether, and collect all the trophies. I completed the first DLC 100% all the way through, collected all those trophies. Last night, I finished up the second DLC, which was the Turf Wars. Got all the trophies in that. So I'm actually, when we're done on this, I'm actually going to jump on and probably start the third DLC. Yep.
Attaboy.
And get a little, like an hour or two of gaming in, and then go from there. But that's all I've been doing. So, and a ton of anime.
Scopes.
So, I finally get to talk about it a little more. Now that it's been a whole extra week, I'm going a little bit more in depth at the Elden Ring.
Please.
Because I got shit to say. That game.
All right, everybody. Ant, turn your mic off. I'm going to turn my mic off. We're just going to let him go.
No, because I think if we turn him off, he's going to fucking... I know. It'll still record. Never mind.
What was I going to say?
Yeah, just don't leave the room.
Dude, the game is... The game is tremendous. Now, I was very, very worried when I bought it, obviously, because we know how I feel about Bloodborne, which is... I'm not necessarily saying that it's a shitty game. I just don't know because I couldn't get past the first
shitty game.
So, you know, it was just...
Jacob was the same way.
Way too difficult. So I was a little nervous when I picked this game up because I was like, it's another From Software game. It's another Soulsborne. So what fucking chances do I have? But they... Now... I don't know if these are things that they have done in Dark Souls game, or if this is it games, or if this is just specific to Elden Ring. If it is, then it's something smart that they did to get people like me on board, because they did do things to make the game a lot more manageable. Because what sucked about Bloodborne was spending hours upon hours playing the game, and all you had to do was die once, and everything you fucking collected was gone, and you had to start over. If you weren't able to like bank your points and shit like that. This game has done things to make that, to actually give you a little bit more of a fighting chance. So for one, when it comes to when you collect runes, which is basically like your currency. You know,
okay.
You know, you collect from, you know, just finding value, you collect from killing enemies and stuff like that. If you die, you don't lose it. I forget what game did it like this, but if you get killed, everything that you had gets left right where you died, so you have an option to go get it back.
That's some Fallout shit.
Yeah, but isn't? But it also works that as if you die again on the way there, you lose it all.
It's gone. It's gone. Yes. Yeah. But I don't believe that you even had that option in Souls or Bloodborne.
You did in Bloodborne. If you die at a certain location in Bloodborne, you could go back to it and get it.
You could.
Yes. Okay. You could go. I was like, if you lost whatever the currency was there, you could actually go back and get it.
Maybe I've just gotten better then. I don't know. Because I haven't lost anything yet. Because I've been... Well, I mean, I've died, but then I've been able to go back.
Fucking wood, homie.
select one. Well, I think I'm also just smarter now, because the way I played Bloodborne, if that was the case, was if I died, okay, I'll just go and fight my way back. In Elden Ring, if I died, I'm avoiding everything until I get my shit back. I'm not trying to fight anything until I get my shit back to make sure I don't die. That's number one. Number two, there's far more places, it seems, to save. And I'm sure maybe some other games that have done it. The only game that I know of is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Wes, this will ring for you because you played that game. So they have these places where you can save, and it's just like they do it in Jedi Fallen Order, where if you decide to rest there, you can get your health back, and it'll also give you back any, like, I forget what they call the things that you use to replenish your HP, but
like your potions.
They're like potions. So yeah. Like if you have 3 potions, they'll even give you those back. So okay. When you rest in these places, they'll re-up all your shit, but everything that you killed along the way will come back. Just like they did in Jedi Fallen Order, if you saved at one of those spots, all the enemies would come back. The only things that don't come back are bosses that you beat. So bosses will stay gone, but every like little enemy throughout the whole thing all come back.
That shit happens in Alien Fireteam Elite. Yeah, that shit happens there too.
What I love about this game is the fact that it is open world. Once you get through like the first part of the game, which is pretty linear, they're just kind of getting you where they want. Once the game actually opens up, there is nothing telling you where to go. You can start wherever the fuck you want, go wherever the fuck you want, and figure out shit along the way. Because there's not even a quest log. Like, you literally just make this game what you want to do. There's obviously an overarching story that you're supposed to get through, and you know what that is. But, like, when you go along and you meet people, you're going to want to, like, jot down, whether it's in the notes on your phone or whatever, or just make a mental note of something that someone wants you to do. Because it's not like they'll tell you to do something, and all of a sudden you'll get, like, a quest marker that tells you, remember, this person wants you to do this. There's none of that. It's just, like, you got to remember, oh, this person wanted me to go do this, so... If I'm at this spot, I need to do it. So that's pretty dope. And it's not one of those things where it's very, I believe Skyrim, everything level with you, and possibly the same thing with Oblivion. So I'm going to go back to Morrowind, is the last game I remember where, an open world game where you absolutely can travel to the wrong fucking place first. You can absolutely travel to a place, no problem, where you have no business being. Yeah, that one I... You can end up in a place with, where you got no business being, you'll get thrashed in 2 seconds. I've beaten 3 bosses in total. Each one has taken me no less than like 15 tries. But you know, once you get the hang of like, certain attacks and shit like that, it's not so bad. But it really is great. It's huge. The map is fucking enormous. Absolutely enormous. The detail in the game is great. And,
yeah, it's what I've been hearing about it.
I haven't heard one bad thing from anyone that I know personally that's played it. But that is playing. And that includes people that have played Souls games and Bloodborne, so like, they already knew what to expect, and people that have never played those games.
Yeah.
And I've gotten basically the same feedback, and knowing that there's like well over 100 hours worth of content there.
Yeah, you need to play like 101 hours or some shit like that in order to be able to...
I understand why they gave it a 10. And it's one of those games, kind of like what you were talking about when you played Resident Evil 2, that like every time you beat a boss, you feel so goddamn accomplished.
Like, yes.
You feel so accomplished. But shit, sometimes if you only got a couple hours to play, sometimes that might be the only thing you do that day, is try to beat one boss and then be like, oh, cool. At least I never have to do that again. But yeah, I'm having a whole lot of fun so far. So I
nice.
Recommend that anybody pick that up. It's a if you don't like challenging games, like I said, I'm calling it challenging. I called Bloodborne thoroughly impossible. This just comes off as challenging. Because I've been able to beat a few bosses. I'm not dying a hundreds of thousands of times. You know, it's not that bad, so I'm enjoying it.
Word. I can't wait to
further into it. Wrap my head around it, yeah. But yeah, that's it for me. Is that it for me?
Yeah, that's it for you.
Yeah, it is.
It said no more.
At an hour and a half, no more.
That is it.
All right, so let me go ahead and let y'all know where you can find and connect with CGC. You can find us on our website, which is consolegamingcrew.com, or you can hit us up on email, which is consolegamingcrew@gmail.com. Our Twitter is @consolecrew, the best place where you can get us, to where we will answer you back. Our Instagram and YouTube pages are both Console Gaming Crew. Facebook can suck a dick. And like you hear one of us say in the beginning of the episode, BossRushGames.com. That's where you can go for our network, the one we're a part of, Boss Rush Network. Anybody, cosplay, anything, just basically nerd related, yo, we got you. Especially when it comes down to the games, we got you. Boss Rush, be better. And then you can also find us on Twitch, which is CGC Podcast. We have the co-op game Monday nights where myself and a few of my friends, right now we're playing Back for Blood, or we might be playing Alien Fireteam Elite, or maybe playing A Way Out. Who knows? And then we also have our Fun Friday, which is currently right now some chill, but hey, you never know. It might be something a little bit different where you might have these two clowns going ahead and doing something as well.
Maybe.
So until next time, as always, stay safe, wash your hands, mask up, look out for each other, y'all. And as always,
game on.
Game on.